Most businesses, however, will never reach the stage of advocacy with their customers. Though they make valiant efforts to convert the customer to an advocate, they're usually unsuccessful because they ask for referrals too soon, destroying their chances of ever getting one. Even if a customer feels confident associating their name with a brand earlier in the relationship, it's only after the relationship has been fully experienced that they're ready to give a referral. Here's a great example of the wrong way to seek referrals. If you've shopped online in the last 5 years, you have likely found yourself, just moments after a purchase, face-to-face with a pop-up message that says, "Please refer us to 2 or 3 friends who might also like to know about our software, product, or service." In the hundreds of times I've seen this message, I've never once provided a referral. First and foremost, it's asking for too much too soon. To ask someone to recommend or refer a product or service immediately after they purchase it is an unfair expectation and an unfair ask. They need to experience the benefit from the purchase in order to make a referral or introduce someone to a new company or product. The new customer wants to know the product or service does what it says it will do before sharing the product or service with friends and colleagues. Furthermore, it's inappropriate to ask a new customer to provide the personal contact information for their colleagues to a nameless and faceless corporation. It presumes a level of familiarity that doesn't exist at this stage in the relationship. By immediately focusing on the next customer, the company sends a not-so-subtle message that it doesn't care about the current customer. All it cares about is increasing the customer base. In this scenario, the new customer is just a number on a balance sheet. True advocates are not just a number. They are part of the tribe. Achieving advocacy. Achieving the advocacy stage is the ultimate goal in the customer life cycle. Customers who reach this pinnacle are worth their weight in gold. Not only is an advocate loyal and committed to the brand, but they do business with you year in and year out, participate in upsell opportunities, offer product feedback and suggestions, and grow the share of wallet that they are willing to give your company. The advocate doesn't just spend more. The advocate becomes your unpaid marketing and sales force. When you have raving fans or advocates, you decrease spending on your marketing and sales. You don't have to spend money on acquisition because your loyal advocates are out in the world encouraging others to sample your offering. People show up at your front door without you needing to draw them in. When these new customers show up, they are pre-framed. They know how your business operates, what you offer as your value proposition, and how much the engagement will cost. In the perfect advocate model, it makes the discussion of price an afterthought. The product or service has been pre-sold so well by the referring customer that the new customer is committed to getting the benefits with very little care or consideration about the overall cost. By focusing on the advocate, companies can cut their expenses, increase profits by reducing the cost of doing business, and increase overall customer retention. The loyalty of a dog lover. One of the most fantastic clients I've worked with is a company called 4Canines LLC. Co-founders Maggie and Jim Umloff make high-end seat covers for vehicles to prevent a dog from scratching the upholstery, shedding fur all over the back seat, staining the seats, etc. Granted, to a non-dog owner, this isn't life-changing stuff. But for a dog owner, 4Canines provides a very important product. Where 4Canines really shines is in its ability to garner customer reviews during the advocate phase. In the world of Amazon sales, one of 4Canines' largest sales channels, the quality of the review, 1 to 5 stars, and the number of reviews, the more the better, contribute significantly to the overall success of the product. While Amazon's specific ranking and search algorithms are not public, it is well known within the community of Amazon sellers that reviews matter, almost more than anything else. You want as many reviews as possible, and you hope that the majority are 4 and 5 stars. From the very beginning, Four Canines realized that it couldn't ask for a written review or testimonial until customers had accomplished their point of purchase goal. Driving down the road with a dog in the back seat, sitting on a properly installed seat cover, feeling not a hint of worry about damaged upholstery or backseat messes. An automatically generated email, an autoresponder, is sent to the customer approximately 30 days after purchase, when Four Canines is fairly certain that this goal has been achieved. In the average month, a whopping 24% of customers who open this email click through and write a review. This is incredible and stands far and above the industry average customer review rate of 8%. Why is the Four Canines review request so valuable and effective? There are several reasons. First, Four Canines waits until the customer has accomplished the goal they had when making the original purchase. Second, by the time the customer receives this email, they have already received several communications from Four Canines designed to align with the customer's emotions as they pass through each of the phases in the customer journey. At this point, the customer feels like they know the Four Canines team. We'll talk more about that later. Third, the language of the email is specifically designed to elicit a review. It begins with an innocent question. Can we ask a favor? This friendly inquiry is almost certainly going to lead the customer to keep reading. The message then quickly follows up with an estimate of the time it will take. About 3 minutes. Showing that while it is asking the customer to do something, it's not a large or difficult ask. Next, the message reiterates the brand's story, spirit, and ethic. In other words, they're a small, family-owned business that cares deeply about the customer experience, providing high-quality products and top-notch service. Finally, Four Canines makes the ask, providing a link to easily upload the review. For an excellent discussion of the value of customer reviews and recommendations on how to get more of them, see Bill Tanser's Everyone's a Critic, Winning Customers in a Review-Driven World. It's that simple. The ask is quick, direct, and honest. It doesn't say, give us a 5-star review, or tell us why you love us, or anything else that could be seen as trying to influence the review. It's a clear and basic request seeking honest feedback. And it works. As I mentioned before, 24% of the time. As if the message couldn't get any better, it's signed by Jim and Maggie Umloff, the founders, as well as their two dogs, Aries and Anna, the Four Canines mascots. Dog lovers go bonkers about the paw print signatures in the email. The Umloffs knew this request for reviews was working well, but had no idea just how important it was until they sold their business to a private equity fund in 2016. For whatever reason, and please don't get me started, the new management team decided to turn off all of the autoresponders, including the one asking for reviews. Things went south in a hurry. Four Canines, which had been doing more than $260,000 per month in sales, quickly saw sales plummet. In less than a year, sales fell by 73% to $74,000 per month. Realizing that it was on the brink of losing the company, the private equity fund asked, well, I say begged, but that's just me, Jim and Maggie to come back and run Four Canines again. The Umloffs agreed, and one of Jim's first acts was to turn the autoresponders back on. Immediately, the reviews started to pour in again, and sales began to climb once more. Within 2 months, sales were back up over $120,000 per month and climbing steadily. Within 6 months, sales were over $175,000 a month, and the business was back on track. We had believed it for some time, but now we had evidence, observes Jim. Amazon is all about social proof, and the reviews are the driver. We knew they were helping us to grow sales and customer loyalty, but we had no idea just how much. During the time period when the review request was turned off, multiple aspects of the business were dramatically affected. Prior to this, Four Canines had over 1,000 more reviews than its closest competitor. Now, that lead had dropped to just over 100 reviews. As sales fell, so did the product's ranking on Amazon, meaning where it would show up on the list of products when a consumer searched seat cover. Having held the coveted top listing for years, to fall in the rankings meant fewer prospects viewing the listing and thereby fewer sales. Thankfully, 4K9s got back on track and in short order was communicating regularly with customers and delivering remarkable customer service once again. What is fascinating is how many of the reviews of a dog seat cover purchased on Amazon specifically referenced the CEO, Jim, by name. One 5-star review, titled Best Service, Amazing Product, shares, "First, let me start by saying this is a beautifully designed and luxurious dog liner for the back seat. I spent a good week researching all different manufacturers and reviews about the pluses and minuses, and this is all A++++++. I ordered this and decided to mention that mine had a slight manufacturing defect. Nothing too serious. It happens with everything in life. Nevertheless, I got a response in 3 minutes. I sent pictures of the mistake and spoke to Jim, who I believe is the owner, and wow, he's sending me out a full replacement and no hassle at all. I sent him pictures around midnight and bam, in 10 minutes, he's packaging a new one up. This is customer satisfaction at its highest level. I wish I could say I'm a customer for life, but the seat protector is so well made, I don't think I'd go through a lot in a lifetime. But I will definitely tell everyone who I know that has a dog to buy this. Save yourself the guessing game. Buy right the first time." Another 5-star review is titled "Great Cover" and shares, "We received this cover and immediately installed it. Went in easily and looks great. We bought it for our small dog with back issues so that she doesn't slip around on the leather seats. However, when we were adjusting it, we noticed one of the plastic clips had broken for the front passenger seat strap. We only used it one time. The clip still seems to operate, but if the other side goes, it will no longer hold. I've included a photo of the clip. Great quality cover, but the plastic clips seem cheap to break for no reason. Update. I just received a message from Jim at 4K9s. He's taken into account what I said about the buckle and is sending me a replacement buckle. This is fantastic customer service, and because of that, I've changed this from a 4-star review to a 5-star review. Couldn't be happier. I highly recommend this cover and this company." I regularly encourage businesses to create remarkable customer experiences. That is, experiences that are unusual or special and therefore surprising and worth mentioning. The fact that so many customers comment on 4K9's products and make note of Jim specifically proves that their business is creating remarkable experiences and in the process, customers whose loyalty rivals that of their dogs. Here's my quick takeaway. Asking for referrals requires thoughtful timing and a sincere ask. The goal should be an honest assessment of how you are performing. The feedback not only provides the data to enhance operations, but can serve as a marketing tool to draw in prospective customers. Used properly, testimonials drive sales in a meaningful and measurable way. Garnering and gathering testimonials. There are dozens of ways that a company can ask its customers to advocate for its brand. One of the most common requests is to ask for testimonials. As the 4K9s example illustrates, the trick is to make it as easy as possible for the customer to advocate. When asking for a testimonial, the company should give the customer specific guidance on what it's looking for. It's not enough to email the best customers and say, "We have a new website launching. Would you be willing to write a testimonial?" That's not how you treat an advocate. That's putting the onus on them to do the work. The better approach is to go to the customer and say, "We've worked together a long time. You've had some massive success and changes within your organization as a direct result of your relationship with us. Would you be willing to share the impact of our work together?" Once the customer shares the success, the impact, and the significance of the relationship, you can produce the written testimonial using the specific, tangible takeaways that come from the relationship. To make giving a testimonial even easier, You can also say to the customer, "Look, I recognize that you're busy and have a lot on your plate right now. With your permission, I'd like to draft a testimonial for you. You can then feel free to edit or amend it as you see fit." Most customers will be thrilled by this offer because while they're happy to support you and give a testimonial for your company, staring at a blank white screen with a blinking cursor feels like a daunting task. Getting a customer to schedule the writing of a testimonial into their already busy calendar is a request that will not get a high level of priority, no matter how much they like you. When preparing the testimonial, you should focus on clearly outlining the benefits the customer received from working with you. All too often, companies try to showcase features when they should be focused on outcomes and results. If there is a way to add a little spice into the testimonial, if and only if that is in alignment with your brand and your customer's voice, it can make for a fantastic review that will catch the eye of your ideal prospect. One of the best testimonials I ever received from an audience member stated, "Joey Coleman presents with a level of enthusiasm and energy normally reserved for Mountain Dew commercials." While this testimonial doesn't share a word about my presentation content, it clearly outlines the impact I have on the audience, something that is incredibly important to event planners who hire speakers. When you provide the customer with tools to write an effective testimonial for you, whether that is talking points, key observations, or the actual text of the endorsement, you make the customer's life easier, which should be your goal throughout the entire relationship, and ensure that the result will describe the experience of working with you. The easier you make it to refer people to your business, the more customers will be happy to advocate for you. When you give your customer a brochure or a link to a video that highlights their experience with your brand and the benefits achieved from working with you, you give them an easy way to pass on the good word about your company. By pre-writing the testimonial, you are in control of the outcome. You can create a level of customization and personalization that the customer might not have created on their own. The testimonials become tools in your toolbox that make this long-standing and loved customer an advocate even when they're not in the room. Advocacy in action. Advocacy, when done properly, is beautiful to witness and can have an incredible impact on your organization. In the world of software as a service, online storage company Dropbox implemented a level of advocacy early on in its business operations that significantly bolstered the growth of its business. When Dropbox first launched its online storage service, customers could sign up for free. As part of signing up for a free account, they received 2 gigabytes of storage. Given that Dropbox was launched in Silicon Valley, most of the people who first signed up were tech-savvy computer users. They quickly used up their free allocation of online storage space. When a customer hit that barrier, Dropbox sent an email with a link to a page on their website outlining options for purchasing more space. They offered an option to buy an additional 100 gigabytes or 200 gigabytes or 500 gigabytes. At the bottom of that page, there was a unique offer. Instead of purchasing additional space, the customer could get 500 megabytes of bonus space for every friend who joined and installed Dropbox. By referring Dropbox to their friends, customers could avoid paying extra storage fees and get the benefit of extra storage. The number of people who took advantage of this offer exceeded Dropbox's wildest dreams. The company grew at an exponential rate over its first year. Within 24 hours of announcing the service, Dropbox had 75,000 people signed up for the waiting list. It slowly extended beta invites and reached 1 million users just 7 months after publicly launching the service. Roughly a year later, Dropbox had registered over 10 million users, an incredible achievement. In fact, Dropbox adopted its referral program after realizing that its Google AdWords customer acquisition was costing the company $233 to $388 per customer for a $99 product. I know you're probably thinking, but Joey, you said we shouldn't ask for referrals too early. Not so fast. Let's look at the expectation of the customers when they signed up for the service, when the request came in the relationship, and how the ask was framed. The early adopters of Dropbox were already fans and practitioners of online storage. Many had already cobbled together their own form of cloud storage over the years, and this was the first time they were getting it in a commercially available, consumer-friendly model. They expected they would be able to store their data in the cloud for free. After they used 2 gigabytes, customers knew how easy it was to use the service. Enough time had passed for Dropbox to prove that the service worked and worked well. Founder Drew Houston once outlined the customer journey in a presentation. The typical Dropbox user hears about Dropbox from a friend, blog, etc., and tries it. They then say to themselves, I didn't realize I needed this. They then say, it actually works. They then become unexpectedly happy and tell their friends. Once the service proved to be effective, the customer expected to pay. So Dropbox sent an email. Here are the payment terms, but wait, you can get more storage for free. All you have to do is refer our service to a friend and you both benefit. See what they did? When properly messaged and targeted, giving referrals turns into a win-win scenario. In the case of Dropbox, the referred prospects were excited to learn about the new software service, and the existing customers got a bump in their online storage. Dropbox allowed customers to make referrals by providing an email address or by merely sharing a link. The goal was to make the referral process easy, efficient, and effective. The fact that the referral program increased overall Dropbox signups by 60% proved that the referral process achieved its goal. Dropbox quickly made the referral even more alluring. It added bonus storage to the referrer's account and to that of the referred friend as well. So your referral was a bonus for your friend too. Had Dropbox decided to reward referrals with cash incentives instead of additional storage, the program would almost certainly have been less successful. In order for a cash incentive to be meaningful, Dropbox would have needed to spend enough money that it would likely take a significant amount of time to earn back the incentive via payments from the new customer. Instead, Dropbox gave its power users even more exposure to the service, in other words, additional storage, which in turn made them more dependent, which led to them being bigger fans, which resulted in even more referrals. Thus, an almost infinite perpetual behavior loop was created, fostered, and encouraged. By integrating advocacy into the structure of operations, businesses can build and cultivate an environment focused on advocates from the very beginning. Here's my quick takeaway. Reward your customers' positive behavior in a way that brings new customers into the fold. Give customers more of what they are already getting, and more of what they would need to buy anyway, and they will want to stay with you forever. It's all about the status. To create effective referral bonuses, a company must build a program that gives the type of gift or bonus the targeted advocate will find most valuable. As a proud customer of American Express and Delta Airlines, I found the co-branded opportunity with the Delta credit card by American Express too good to pass up. I signed up for this program more than a decade ago and quickly experienced the benefits of supporting both brands. Every purchase I made using my American Express credit card earns miles on Delta. Whenever I fly Delta, I'm able to check my bags for free as a benefit of being an American Express cardholder. While I began to enjoy the benefits of being a co-branded Delta Amex customer immediately, my relationship became more interesting approximately a year after I signed up, when Delta sent me a marketing message about referring other people to the Delta Amex credit card. While I'm not completely sure, it wouldn't surprise me if somewhere in their tracking algorithms, Delta made certain that I was the kind of customer from which they wanted to receive referrals. I was the type of customer that used the Delta Amex as my primary credit card for business and personal charges. I used it frequently and paid it even more frequently. Once they confirmed that I fit the profile they desired, Delta Amex sent me a special offer where, if I referred new customers to the credit card and they signed up, I would receive bonus miles. Delta took this one step further by offering me the opportunity to obtain status qualifying miles as part of my referral. For those who may not be familiar with the operation of airline frequent flyer miles, you can accrue miles that can later be cashed in for upgrades, free tickets, and other perks. To be honest, it turns into a game where people earn miles for all sorts of behaviors. Rent a car? Get some miles. Stay in a hotel? Get some miles. Eat dinner at a participating restaurant? Get some miles. Shop at an online retailer? Get some miles. The chase for miles is enough to instill personal loyalty and make a customer adopt a specific airline as their carrier of choice. This leads to the kind of customer loyalty most companies envy, where dedication trumps rational decision-making. I regularly pay more to fly Delta versus other carriers because I know I will get my miles. However, mere miles aren't enough. To maintain status on an airline, you need to accrue a very specific type of mile. Status qualifying miles. Delta's diamond level status, which at present requires 125,000 status qualifying miles, is the equivalent of 6 round trip flights between New York and Sydney. If you're going to be on an airline this much, you deserve a diamond. But diamond level status will do. Usually, the only way to accrue status qualifying miles is by flying actual miles on the airline. This can lead to insane behavior, including the infamous mileage run. In this scenario, a customer desperately seeking status qualifying miles boards a flight, flies a great distance, usually halfway around the world, and then flies back, without even bothering to stay the night, just to accrue the miles and earn the associated status. Delta Amex helped me avoid making mileage runs thanks to its generous offer. I was given the opportunity to obtain status qualifying miles as part of a mileage bonus awarded when I referred a new card user to sign up for the Delta Amex card. It worked. Less than 48 hours after receiving this offer, I made my first pitch to a fellow entrepreneur. Much to my delight, weeks later, status qualifying miles for my friend's business card and his personal card hit my account. By offering status qualifying miles, something that both Delta and American Express knew I would find particularly enticing, they ensured that I would make the right referrals and make them quickly. Here's my quick takeaway. Offer your best customers something that will be personally meaningful to them. If you know the customer doesn't have what they need or are going to fall just short of something you can provide, you can earn your company a zealous advocate if you deliver in that moment. There is desirable social prestige associated with status. By helping your best customers achieve your highest status, you help them attain the next level of customer segmentation. You can also trigger ongoing dopamine rushes by having your customers win games. Collecting points and achieving new levels can gamify loyalty and result in strong connections with your best customers. Hanging out with Sir Richard. Maverick 1000, the entrepreneurial membership discussed earlier, ran a referral campaign where the top referring member to the group received an all-expenses-paid trip to Necker Island with Sir Richard Branson. Branson, by any measure, is one of the top 3 most famous and successful entrepreneurs in the world. Enticing a group of maverick entrepreneurs with the opportunity to spend time with Sir Richard on his private island in the Caribbean guaranteed a high level of participation in the referral campaign. To date, this specific campaign has been the most successful referral campaign the Maverick organization has ever run. Now you may be thinking, but Joey, I don't know Richard Branson. Fair enough, but that's not really the point. The secret to creating great referral campaigns that get your customers to actively bring you new customers is to incentivize them with something they A, want, and B, would have a hard time obtaining on their own. Knowing what your customers want is all about identifying things they will find exciting. This hinges on how well you know their likes, dislikes, interests, and hobbies. We'll discuss how to determine this in the next chapter. Identifying something they would have a hard time obtaining on their own requires you to look at your own network and resources to identify how you can bring your connections to bear when creating a magical moment for your customers. For example, if you are a luxury high-rise owner trying to get your current tenants to refer new tenants to fill your unoccupied penthouse, you could consider offering the winning referrer the chance to host an all-expenses-paid party in the penthouse before the newly referred tenant moves in. If you are friends with a senior member of the Egyptian government, you could arrange for an after-hours private tour of the Museum of Egyptian Antiquities for your top referring clients. I once had the opportunity to enjoy this rare privilege as a guest of the person who had the connection. And yes, it was as amazing as you might imagine. If you know that your customer is a fan of a famous author, movie star, or celebrity, you can purchase a unique experience for your customer to enjoy through a charity auction site like CharityBuzz.com. One of my good friends has delivered some out-of-this-world experiences for his top-referring clients by actively monitoring the experiences offered on this website and then purchasing them as gifts. The referral bonus doesn't need to be expensive, as long as it's memorable. I once received a referral fee, one of the more common ways to acknowledge a customer referral, from a colleague who made the experience remarkable by not only unexpectedly giving me the fee, but by presenting it in a metal briefcase delivered by a courier. Separately, he sent the combination to me in a message saying, "You'll know what to do with this when you find yourself needing a combination." When I opened the combination lock, I was shocked to find the briefcase filled with money. The total amount represented approximately 10% of the value of the referral I made, a somewhat standard referral fee, but the presentation was breathtaking. Stack upon stack of bills, he made the volume of the cash that much more impressive by paying the fee in $1 bills, made me laugh out loud and put a grin on my face that I couldn't wipe off for days. Needless to say, I couldn't help but tell people about it as well, and immediately started thinking of other people I could refer to him. Here's my quick takeaway. The best customer rewards offer exclusivity and rare opportunities, and sometimes both. Look for things that you can give away that cost very little to you compared with how much your customers will value them. For your best referrers, go above and beyond to actively seek out special experiences that they wouldn't easily be able to arrange on their own. Golden tickets, celebrity sightings, and push-up contests. While many companies make referrals online, most business referrals are made through word-of-mouth marketing. Word-of-mouth is what a satisfied or unsatisfied customer says about a product or service to a potential customer. Mastermind Talks, an annual event founded by Canadian entrepreneur Jason Gaynard, is an intimate gathering of entrepreneurs from around the world. Over the course of 3 days, high-end learning and networking occur at this event, held at an exclusive resort, where no more than 150 attendees are allowed. In the few short years since its inception, Mastermind Talks has become one of the hottest event tickets in the industry. At one point after the first year, Mastermind Talks had a 4,200-person waiting list for an event that cost more than $3,000 to attend. More than 16,000 people have applied since the event first began. At the time of writing, tickets to this invitation-only event are now priced at $10,000, and people are still begging to get in. Because reviewing the number of applicants from the waiting list would be a daunting, if not impossible, task, Jason implemented a new referral program. His program took the form of a golden ticket. Attendees at the event were told they could refer only one person to the next year's event, and that their referral would be able to jump to the front of the waiting list. The referred prospect would still need to go through the same application process every attendee went through, but holding a golden ticket would guarantee consideration. While most businesses want as many referrals as possible, Mastermind Talks realized the importance of the right referral. Getting in front of the ideal candidate was more important than trying to get as many referrals as possible. By positioning this opportunity as a golden ticket available only to raving fan event attendees, Mastermind Talks created a feeling of scarcity and urgency. Attendees wanted to make sure their golden ticket was the one that led to a new attendee the following year. At the annual event the next year, the room was filled with past attendees as well as a handful of new attendees who came in through the golden ticket referral program. Prior to this, Mastermind Talks had never mentioned a referral bonus. The attendees were so excited to bring more people to this life-changing, incredible event that the opportunity to extend an invitation was viewed as enough of a bonus and benefit. However, recognizing the importance of rewarding advocates in unexpected and experiential ways, Jason drew names from the list of referring attendees and awarded prizes on the spot in front of all the attendees. These prizes were interesting, fascinating, and substantial. He gave away products with price tags in the hundreds of dollars. He gave away services and subscriptions that would have cost thousands of dollars on the open market. He gave away unique access that is almost impossible to come by, including a behind-the-scenes tour of Airbnb with co-founder and chief product officer Joe Gebbia, and a hike with Lululemon founder Chip Wilson. Providing these types of experiences to a room filled with international entrepreneurs had people jumping out of their seats when they won the experiences. One of the more interesting spectacles came when Jason gave away an all-expenses-paid 8-day safari in Africa as a thank you. Jason drew the names of two referrers and then had them do a push-up contest on stage to see who won the safari. I swear I can't make this stuff up. Needless to say, the cheering crowd only bolstered the experience and left everyone in the room thinking that they should make sure to be in shape for the next year's event, lest they lose a physical challenge like this. This level of referral acknowledgement, carried out in front of the entire customer base, made the request for referrals the following year that much easier. Mastermind Talks moved to nominations instead of applications. It became impossible to get in if you weren't nominated by a former attendee, and it produced 378 nominations from within the community for 75 spots. When your customers become your referral source, not only do your marketing expenses go to zero, but the quality of your incoming customers increases dramatically. Not only did the conversion rate on those new nominees skyrocket, 81% of extended new member invitations purchased the premium priced ticket, but 74% of that year's attending members attempted to purchase a ticket for the next event, even though it was almost a year away and the specific date and location hadn't been announced when tickets went on sale. All too often, organizations build referral programs where the prizes are not meaningful to the referring customer. You should develop programs that encourage and excite your most loyal customers to spread the word about your product and service offerings. Doing this will help create lifelong advocates. Here's my quick takeaway. The right referral is much more important than just any referral. Thinking of your customers as your community or your family helps to make you more protective of them, and they will return the favor by bringing the right type of prospect to your door. Enrolling your customers as your marketers helps accelerate your business while also maximizing the likelihood of gaining new, quality, qualified customers. Using unexpected rewards to heighten the referral experience ensures that if you seek referrals, your customers will rush to bring them to you. Summary. Phase 8, advocate. creating remarkable customer experiences in the advocate phase. The advocate phase of the customer lifecycle offers you the opportunity, via case studies and testimonials, to strengthen bonds with existing customers, as well as work with customers to identify prospective clients. Because of the customer's extensive personal experience at this point in the relationship, testimonials are more meaningful and the results of using your products or services are more easily quantified and qualified. In addition, the customer has established enough trust in your company that they will be more likely to share their network with you for potential leads and referrals. Six things to do in the advocate phase, starting tomorrow. While you don't have to use every communication tool in each phase, you can. Getting creative about making memorable experiences for your best customers should spark ideas and leave you eager to implement. In person. Inviting your most valued customers to come on sales calls, meet other customers, and mingle with prospects is a way to have your best customers become your best salespeople. When you create unique and engaging reasons to participate, customers will be eager to join in and will likely transfer those positive feelings into their conversations and interactions. Chapter example. Providing top customers with incredible once-in-a-lifetime prizes, like Maverick 1000 and Mastermind Talks do, is a great way to get them to refer new business while driving participation and excitement in the process. Email. Well-timed emails that are easy to act on allow your best customers to support, strengthen, and grow your business. When crafting these messages, consider how your customers will randomly receive them in their email inbox and make sure that the ask is something they can do quickly and easily. Make sure that the benefit of participating is a compelling reward, clearly outlined, and effortlessly achieved. Chapter example. By offering additional benefits to customers who get their friends to become customers, like Dropbox and Delta Amex, you can grow your customer base at an exponential rate. Recognizing peer group similarities of your customers, like Viacord, and giving substantial discounts on an ongoing service that nearly all of your customers want and need keeps the referrals coming in. Often the simple act of asking for testimonials, like for canines, is enough to drive customer engagement and boost sales. Mail. The arrival of a free gift in the mail allows for a unique touchpoint, especially this long into the relationship, that marks the customer's arrival at the advocate phase, an important distinction for your top customers. This communication should be highly personalized, handwritten, and feel as if it was custom made for the recipient. Chapter example. Offering breathtaking surprises, like a suitcase of cash, to your top advocates shows your appreciation for their help, while also creating a remarkable touchpoint that they will surely talk about with friends and colleagues. Phone. A congratulatory call from the CEO or chairman of the board will emphasize the importance of the customer's status as an advocate. This interaction once again offers the company the chance to thank the customer for the ongoing patronage and support. Video. Asking customers to share video testimonials is not only appropriate given the length of the customer relationship, but it has a greater chance of gleaning positive testimonials as these customers have significant personal experience with the brand. Giving prizes for the most creative videos and showcasing them in various brand channels will increase participation as well. Present. A strong referral campaign at this point in the customer lifecycle is both appropriate and meaningful, especially to those who reached this stage in the relationship. By offering the most successful customers free products or services to gift to friends and colleagues, the personal testimonial will take on entirely new meaning as they will be able to help their friends sample the brand. Chapter example. Sweetening the incentives for making referrals, like Delta Amex, by providing something that your top customers crave is a way to keep them active and engaged. Giving any referral a relevant bonus or benefit, like Dropbox and Maverick 1000, drives referrals while building loyalty on the part of the veteran customer. Shocking your top customers with incredible prizes, like Mastermind Talks does, helps to drive enthusiasm and guarantee referrals for many years to come. Your assignment. Put these ideas to work. Now that you have a clear understanding of the advocate phase, answer a series of questions that are designed to get you thinking about how you can use each of the communication tools to enhance the overall experience during this phase of the customer journey. Ta-da! This is the last set of questions. Don't fade on me. You're too close to the complete payoff to skip this section now. Evaluating the current situation. Answer each question, then write two or three sentences explaining your answer. For bonus points, write down any ideas you have for changes that would make your answers better. Number one. What is the first signal that a customer is now an advocate for your company or offerings? Hint, the customer might be making unsolicited referrals to you that are ideal prospects. Number two, describe in detail what advocacy looks like to you. What does the customer need to do? What does it feel like? How do you acknowledge the contribution? Does the referral lead to the right kind of business? Does the referral lead to the right kind of customer in terms of personality and demeanor? Number three, in your current business, do you create remarkable experiences during the advocate phase? If so, what are they? Number four, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is pathetic and 10 is world class, how would you rate the experience your customers currently have in the advocate phase? If you don't currently have any advocates, score yourself a 1. Tools to enhance the future experience. Answer each question by coming up with 2 or 3 ideas for using the specific tool to enhance the customer experience. These are your very best customers, so it's worth it, no matter the investment of time, money, or staff. This should be the place where your creativity runs wild. Number one, how can you use in-person interactions during this phase to make the customer feel like they are your most important customer? Number two, how can you make your emails feel like personal messages from a dear friend as opposed to corporate speak? Number three, how can a customized mail piece mark the milestone of this customer being considered one of your very best? Number four, how can phone conversations add a level of personalization and familiarity that is commensurate with the status of your most valued customers? Number five, how can videos shift from marketing messaging to shared communications between friends? Number six, what present or presents could you give customers that would really make them feel appreciated as most valued customers? Pick one now. If you've answered the questions, this is the last set of questions, I promise. You have a clear understanding of the customer experience during the advocate phase, as well as many ideas for how to make that experience better. Taking that into account, consider the following questions. Number one, what is one thing you can start doing tomorrow to make the experience your customers have in the advocate phase even better? Number two, who would you need to talk to in order to make this happen? Number three, how would you know if you've succeeded in making this improvement? Number four, how would you measure the improvement of the overall customer experience? Number five, how would you share this impact with the rest of the organization? You've made it through the 8 phases. Now it's time to implement. You've now traveled from the first time a prospect considers doing business with you through the 8 phases of the customer journey to arrive at the point where the customer is a raving fan of both you and your business. Congratulations! If you've completed the questions at the end of each chapter along the way, you now have a detailed and clear understanding of how your business is currently performing, a treasure trove of ideas for enhancements and improvements, and some specific steps for what to do next. Now let's consider how to implement this new way of thinking across your organization. Chapter 16. Get Started. How to Stop Losing Customers Today. I once believed that knowing about the 8 phases was enough for people to understand how to create amazing customer experiences. For many people, that was all it took for them to take action and change the way their businesses operated. But as I brought this method to wider audiences, I realized many business owners needed more than just information. They would tell me they loved the concepts, but had no idea how to apply the 8 phases to their business or their customers' experiences. They wanted and needed step-by-step guidance. In an effort to make my methodology as easy to implement as possible, this chapter outlines a step-by-step plan to learn more about your customers, determine the current experiences they are having, and enhance operations so you can deliver remarkable experiences on a consistent basis. I developed a 4-step process to help you understand your customers and position your business to roll out an enhanced customer journey across the 8 phases. These 4 steps are: number 1, investigate; number 2, observe; number 3, personalize; and number 4, surprise. Investigate. Learning everything you can about the people you serve. Dale Carnegie is famous for saying, quote, "You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you." The typical business approach to interacting with customers is to jump up and down and scream, "Look at me, look at me, look what I have." Instead of asking questions and learning all about their customers, businesses have a tendency to focus on themselves. The more we know about our customers, the easier it is to wow them in our interactions. While many different types of data are useful, the bits of information that offer a personal and emotional connection to customers are the most valuable. A personal data point is something specific to that individual, as opposed to the public at large. For example, where they attended college. An emotional data point is something they have a strong and ideally positive feeling about. For example, their experience at college. As such, for some people, a discussion about their alma mater can be both a personal and emotional connection. When it comes to investigating current customers, the first place you should start is with their name. Names matter. Carnegie noted that, quote, "The average person is more interested in their own name than in all the other names in the world put together." Carnegie believed so much in the power of a person's name that he referred to it as magic. We should all be aware of the magic contained in a name and realize that this single item is wholly and completely owned by the person with whom we are dealing and nobody else. The name sets the individual apart. It makes him or her unique among all others. The information we are imparting or the request we are making takes on a special importance when we approach the situation with the name of the individual. From the waitress to the senior executive, the name will work magic as we deal with others. Remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Research has shown that hearing the sound of your own name being spoken lights up unique areas of your brain. And yet most businesses fail to use this very simple technique to connect with their customers. In fact, in many businesses, one of the first tasks is to assign new relationships a customer number. It is no wonder that many customers feel like they are being treated as a number instead of as an individual. They are. Once you have identified the names of your customers, there are a number of ways to begin your investigative research. But first, let's make sure what you learn doesn't go in one ear and out the other. Ink fades slower than memory. When it comes to investigating your customers, it is important to get clarity on where to store the data you collect and who is in charge of maintaining it. There are dozens of customer relationship management, or CRM, software programs, and the best advice I can give is to choose the one that you will actually use. For a current review, I update it regularly, of some of the best CRM software on the market, visit www.joeycoleman.com/CRM-review. The features and functionalities pale in comparison with the uphill battle to get employees to adopt a CRM tool as an integral part of their day-to-day habits. Once you've selected your software tool, decide on the types of data and information you want to seek out from your customers and use when interacting with them. To assist in this process, I've included a list of audience information categories in the appendix that details potential data sets to record. You can do a quick assessment of your current tracking efforts by marking whether you collect a specific piece of information always, sometimes, rarely, or never. Use this list to select the fields you would like to include in your customer relationship management program. To be clear, it is not recommended that you track all of the items given in the audience information categories list. What is recommended is that you aim for completed data fields for every customer in the specific categories you do choose to track. When evaluating which data to track, you may want to consider how you will use it. For example, by tracking favorite sports teams, you can plan to send a text message or email congratulating the customer when their favorite team wins. This is easily done by creating a favorite team list and then using a tool like Google Alerts to keep track of team wins. At certain key points in the year, a customer birthday, special holidays, the end of the sports season, etc., you can give them something branded with the logo of their favorite sports team as a gift. In addition, give thought to selecting data points that will create both personal and emotional connections. In the beginning, make sure to select 5 to 10 fields you must start tracking now. Then select 5 to 10 fields you would like to start tracking once you're 6 to 12 months into your investigative endeavor. Make sure the CRM is formatted to include fields where you can populate specific data once your research efforts start to bear fruit. Once you identify the desired data fields and start investigating and tracking them, it's time to start adding the data to the CRM to create completed records. Investigate, a step-by-step process. The different tools and techniques described in this section offer a variety of ways to gather insight and learn more about your customers. By approaching research efforts in this order, you can maximize your findings while operating efficiently and effectively. In addition, the more information you can gather without asking your customer for the answer, the more impressed they will be when you connect on something that is important to them. Making personal and emotional connections. Many people praise the power of making connections with customers, but the potency of the connection hinges on the type of data you have. Some data points are personal in nature, while others are emotional. If you can find a data point that is both, you can make a more meaningful connection. Historically, gathering customer intelligence was a difficult and time-consuming task. Now we live in a day and age when people are publicly sharing volumes of information about their personal lives, their interests, their hobbies, their desires, and their activities on social media. Many, if not most, of these profiles are open to the public. Learning more about your customer is often as simple as spending 10 minutes reviewing their social media profiles. Status updates, photos, and comments provide wonderful insight about the personal and emotional elements of your customers' lives. Things you know but don't write down. When you think about your customers, there are often many things you know that haven't been captured in your CRM records. Begin by reviewing